Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Healthy Life. My name is Timothy Torres. I'm one of the pastors here. I want to say welcome. Yeah, it's on, Lara. If you wouldn't mind, let us know that you're here by filling out Healthy Life sign-in sheet. If you're a member of the church, we don't need your email or phone number. You probably have it. But if you're a first-time guest or maybe you never gave us your information, this is a great opportunity for you to be in the know what's happening here at Christ Covenant Church. We'll let you know of future events that are coming up online. You can sign up for almost all our events right now online. If you want to pay for something, we do everything online just to make it as easy as possible for you. So go take a minute to go ahead and fill that out. If you are a member, though, please let us know that you're here by also filling this out. So we have pens in the middle of the table for you.
I'm going to amend what you said. If you changed your email, I know Robin would love it if you actually wrote that down. So if you have any changed emails, can you indicate that? And we'll let Robin know you have a new email. She'd probably appreciate that.
All right. Well, tonight we're concluding our seminar on healthy life. This year, starting in September, we wanted to focus in on the elements that make up a healthy life. Christ said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you in the full, in abundance. And so the gospel is transformative power, not only for our spirit, even though it starts there, right? Our souls, that's how we're transformed by the gospel. But then from our soul outward, it changes how we view everything. And so Christianity has something to say about every sphere that we experience in life. And so tonight, we're going to be talking about the issue of healthy finances. This topic, we actually wanted to do on the front end of the seminars back in October, but Hurricane Matthew knocked on our door and got really close to entering Florida, pretty much as close as it could, and which caused us to have to push this event to October. But Martin was nice enough to come back and agreed to do it for us tonight. And so we're just really glad that everything pulled together nicely.
Just want to give you a little idea about our format if you've not been with us before. So Martin will come up and speak for a little while, and then we will have an opportunity for some question and answers. On your table are some cards. These are really just for you as the topic or the as Martin is speaking. If you think of something, it's great to write it down because you might forget it later. And what we'll do is collect these questions and we'll go through those questions with Martin towards the end, or you can answer, you know, off the floor as well. But just so you know, these are there, sort of a guide. And then on the table, you also have a handout packet. So if you want to go ahead and grab your own packet now, you can have a packet and a question card, and there's some pens available for you.
During the Q&A, you can also just raise your hand if you have a question. And so you can ask a question that way. The only thing we do ask is that you not ask how your Home Depot stock is performing and what do you, so personal financial information is probably not the sphere, this is not the area, arena to ask that, but definitely any general questions that you have on any of the topics that are talked about tonight, feel free. We really want to make this a great time of Q&A and all our evenings together. The Q&A has been probably some of the best information as far as give and go with the speaker. So please be thinking about that. But as Lara said, please use that card and we'll go ahead and collect it around 7:30 right before we start our Q&A time. Lara, you want to introduce?
Yeah, I'd like to introduce Martin. So Martin, if you want to come up here. So tonight we have Martin Rosenthal with us. Most of you know him. He is a member of our church here. So most of you are going to know this guy. So I asked him, I said, I know you personally, I don't know you professionally. So it's kind of an interesting thing. But Martin was a teacher for 10 years, and he has been a certified financial planner for 20 years now. He runs a business in Pembroke Pines called Common Sense Wealth Management. So he has been in this business for a long time. He deals with folks on a one-on-one basis, helping them to manage their finances. And so I think he's going to have a great presentation for us tonight. He's a good friend of mine. I know you're going to enjoy him. He's a bit of a goofster. So I think we'll be entertained as well as informed tonight. So we're thankful for having him here tonight.
All right. Before Martin kicks off, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we come before you asking that you would be with us as you always are. But our prayer is that we would be more aware of how present you are always with us. Lord, so I pray that you would open up our hearts to that truth, our minds to that truth, our spirit to that truth, so we would walk in confidence, knowing that we are never alone. And many times we struggle in life, and one of the areas we struggle with is our finances, Lord. We go through times of blessing, and we live in abundance, but many times you go through scarce times, Lord, where we're scraping by. And we know that you are the Lord of both situations. and that you're teaching us how to live life to your glory in both. But teach us how to honor you with our wealth. That is our prayer this morning, this evening. Be with Martin as he speaks to us. Allow him to speak boldly and clearly to us, and allow him to really educate us so that we can glorify you with all that we are. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. And God's people say,
amen, amen. All right, you able to hear me okay? Is my sound on? I felt like a Seinfeld episode right before coming in. I ran to the restroom. You remember the Seinfeld episode? All I was worried about is I have to turn the mic off. I will be in big trouble. So I did turn it off, and I just did put it back on. I didn't know I had a reputation of being a little bit of a goofster, but I thought if the topic gets a little dry today, I bought this for Braden. Everyone knows Braden? Does most of you? So I found this at Walgreens today, and this is, what am I doing wrong? Oh, okay, yeah, but you're missing the best part here. Okay. So that's for Braden. It was $14.99, so it wasn't a great buy because it'll be broken very shortly. All right. So it's an absolute pleasure being here tonight and getting to chat with friends and family and a lot of other good folks. So a couple disclaimers. First disclaimer is, anyone know or hear of or listen to Steve Brown on the radio, Key Life? Okay, he used to be the pastor down at Key Biscayne Presbyterian. When Maria and I were in college back in the 80s, we attended that church, and he had the deepest, voice, deep voice, deep voice. So every time I got a cold and I was in college and my voice would get really deep, I'd try to imitate him. And I always imitated, he would always close his prayers with the following phrase, I can't do it deep enough. And for him they call reverend, and he's not. His sins are many, may they be forgiven. So I want to throw that out. Even though we're going to talk about finance, and I've been doing it for 20 years and working with folks, I do make stupid purchases. Well, don't tell Braden that. But so I'm up here not as an expert saying I've arrived, because I don't think any one of us will arrive in our Christian walk and in the different areas we face until we're with the Lord. But so that's the first disclaimer. Second one, I have something to hand out, but I kind of felt like if I put it on the table, let me take a step back. Jesus went into the temple and got upset at the money changers, and he threw over the tables, and it was a righteous anger. So this is not for marketing. Yes, I have a business. Hopefully our 45 minutes or an hour together, we'll be able to give you some good information as well as answer some questions or at least give you some opinions. So I do have something to pass out, but my name is on there and address and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't want it to look like, I didn't want Jesus coming in and throwing over the tables, okay? So if a few people could help pass this out, this is just a good resource. This is just a good resource. We'll pass a few out. Okay. So that's so all the disclaimers are out of the way, right? Okay. Take just a second to pass those out. We're really not going to talk about the materials that are on there, but there's a summary of financial data that's important. Tax information. April 17th is coming up. It's not the 15th this year, right? Isn't that around? Okay. So that's just for you to take home, keep in a drawer, throw darts at, but there's some good information in there, okay? Probably when we get to the question and answer time, there'll be some materials on here that you might ask questions about. Thanks. All right, now, we were supposed to teach this class October 5th, right? And this is the picture that Timothy got, I think off my website, but that was in October. Braden saw that the other day and didn't know who it was. And I realized why. Now, I thought the lighting was going to be a little better. I had my associate at my office Photoshop. So can you see the transformation? Oop, 1 second. Give me 1 second. It'll work. Well, it's not going to work. Let me bring this over. It's subtle, so you're going to have to pay attention here. See? Okay. And Timothy told me, I knew this wasn't going to work. This is supposed to be remote control for the iPad. Timothy said, most people go the other direction. They have the grayer hair and they Photoshop it out to be darker hair. Anyway, so that's me with the grayer hair, and now Braden will recognize who I am. Yes, when Braden saw this, he said, oh, Grandpa, Grandpa. So he did recognize it. Okay, we wanted to look at three different topics tonight. You know, when you're in 45 minutes or an hour, when you're talking about finances, there's so many different things we can talk about. So we're tackling three things. Some of these may apply to you, some of these may not, but I know this, whether it be friends, relatives, kids, these are things we need to be teaching our kids. So whether it applies to you or not, I hope that there'll be some information on here that you're able to apply or share with others. So these are the three areas we're going to look at tonight. Dealing with debt, we'll take 15 minutes or so to talk about debt. Establishing a spending plan, or otherwise known as a budget. You'll hear me tonight talk about Dave Ramsey. We're going to make reference to Dave Ramsey. Some of you took a course we had several years ago in church here. And just to give you a quick little promo here, we're talking about different dates, and we're going to be offering the Dave Ramsey class sometime, hopefully in the near future, okay? That's a 9-session class, used to be 13. 9-session class where you each week tackle a different topic, so I'd highly recommend it. And I will refer to him. He's a nationally known financial planner, and he's got a radio show. So you might want to, if you can't attend the class, you can take the material online, DaveRamsey.com, and the name of the course is Financial Peace University. So Financial Peace University. So you might want to Google that and take a look at it. He uses the term spending plan because it sounds more positive. Budget, we hear budget, and it's like, oh my goodness. So spending plan is a little more positive. We'll take a look at that. And third thing we're going to talk about is how do you start putting away money in savings and investments. So those are the three topics. Prior to that, I put some materials in here, and I did notice, and I hope either Timothy or whoever put the packet together, I appreciate them making the copies. It's kind of upside down, and so you may want to take the staple out, possibly. I don't know. To me, I was getting all twisted while I was trying to look through the notes. Okay, you might want to take the staple out, start on the front page, and start flipping that way. I put some materials in there, which we're not going to cover tonight. Some verses, and we're going to look at a few verses, and then we're going to jump into the three topics. But Matthew tells us, chapter 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Does anyone have a guess at how many times the concept of money or money-related topics are talked about in Scripture? Anyone have an idea? 2,000. You probably saw the notes said 2,000. But, oh, you didn't? Good. 2,350. 2,350 times in Scripture, we hear Scripture verses talked about from Jesus and other authors of the Bible talking about money. When you boil it all down, I think it boils down to this verse that money really shows where our heart is. Okay? So keep that in mind. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So money and our heart oftentimes go hand in hand. I don't expect you to read that or see that, but in your handout, there's a handful of verses. If you just go to Google and put in Bible verses relating to money, there's so many good websites out there, many, many good websites. So I'd encourage you to take a look at that when you have time. But we want to take a quick look at five key concepts. I got this from a website, ChristianPersonalFinance.com, very good website. It's more of a blog, but the gentleman who writes this, and this you'll see on one of your pages of your handout, five key concepts that we should remember. Number one is, please, something we need to work on is not putting our trust in our savings account or checking accounts or our investment accounts. They may be small, they may be extremely great in size, but the bottom line is it's the wrong place to put our attention, our focus, and our trust. Wealth comes and goes. Financial wealth comes and goes. So point number one, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So number one, who are we trusting? Number two, step out in faith. God owns it all. Do we own the money that we have in our pocket or our bank or our investments right now? Is it ours? It's not. And I'll tell you another Braden story with a little poetic license because I wasn't there to hear it. So Braden's over the house, our little 2.5-year-old. He'll be 2.5 tomorrow. This is half year birthday. My daughter probably isn't that mathematical as far as worrying about his half year birthday, but I keep track of it. So Braden's over. No, she's good at math. She just doesn't care that much about those events. Maria's mom lives with us. Maria's mom's 90 years old. And so she lives with us. And Jordy gave Braden a little orange candy, said, go take this back to Ella. That's our nickname for her, Ella. Go take this back to Ella. And then Jordy realized that Braden was getting a little agitated. She said, oh, I know. I'll give him a second one. And then she said, take one, give it to Ella, and you keep one. So you're going to give one away, and you're going to keep one. And as this was happening, Braden saw two of them now. And all of a sudden, he's gripping it tightly, and he's starting to shake, and mine, mine, mine came out of his mouth. Well, she thought she'd solve that problem by giving a third one. So the third one, the concept was what? Braden would keep two and go give Ella, the sweet 90-year-old great-grandmother, one. Well, that didn't happen. She basically had to force him in the back. And when she finally said, Braden, give Ella the candy, Braden did what? Took it and basically threw it at her. So he's good most of the time. But once in a while, he'll have little episodes like that. But when I heard that story, I said, how much different is that than the way we treat money so often? Mine, mine, mine. And God's probably looking down. I don't pretend to know the mind of God, but I'm sure he looks down and oftentimes is very disappointed in our selfishness. And sometimes, even though we might give, we grudgingly give. It's basically like Braden threw the candy at his great-grandmother. Oftentimes, here's a few dollars, Lord, here, and you throw it at him, okay? So bottom line is, how much better is if your parents or grandparents, when your child or grandchild comes and there's a thank you or I appreciate you, and they initiate it. Thank you for helping me with this. Thank you. It's basically showing their heart. Does God need our money? Does our $100 or $1,000 or $1 million or $10 million or $10 billion make a hill of difference in God's investment account? He doesn't need any of that. He doesn't need any of that. What he needs is children who are thankful, appreciative, and grateful. So number two, let's be cheerful givers. Number three, we've seen this verse a lot. Money is not evil. The love of it is what causes the problems. The love of money causes the problems. Now, this I've seen quite often. Having millions and millions or billions of dollars doesn't necessarily mean that you love money. And the opposite of that, for the person who has $5 to their name, they may love money. They may love money. So the size of the bank account or the size of your house or the amount of vacation places you have or don't have doesn't mean you love or don't love money, okay? So it's the love of money. And again, we all have to be aware of that and be very careful not to let the love of money creep into our hearts. Speaking of that, we see these lists all the time of the world's wealthiest people, 72 billion, and I'm not gonna say any names out there. There's no one in here, I don't think. But the world's top 5 or 10 wealthiest people. Every time I see the list, and I hope each one of them has a saving faith and a relationship with our Lord, but I see those lists, and the verse that pops out immediately is, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? So, great to have money, especially if you're a cheerful giver, but how sad for anyone to enter into eternity without having a saving relationship with Christ. But for the person who has money, now oftentimes, what does that money sometimes do for a person as far as, does it make it easier or tougher for them to see their need for a Savior? Tougher. I mean, Scripture tells us it's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven than the camel through the eye of the needle. And if you ever go to Israel, you'll see where that reference was made. But the bottom line is, when you have money, there's less of a chance that you see the need for a Savior. So you put your faith in your resources and your assets. And the last thing we'll take a look at is this concept. Then we're going to jump into our 3 points. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. Bottom line is, getting out of debt is not easy, often requires a fight, but the freedom that comes with it is so worth it. So these are five general biblical principles I think we should try to remember. So now let's take a look. We're going to take a look at dealing with debt. For anyone who's taken the Dave Ramsey class, he uses a video of a gazelle. Anyone see a gazelle recently? No? This is my perception of, it used to be Metro Zoo. What is it now? Zoo Miami? Every animal there to me looks like a gazelle. It's like there's like 90 versions of gazelles there. But and every time I go there, I complain to the family. I hope they have some more animals besides gazelle 1, 2, 3. But a gazelle looks kind of like a big deer. And they show pictures of them. You've seen videos of them before in the continent of Africa being chased by tigers or lions or bears, I don't know which one. But the video that they show is this gazelle being chased by this gazelle-eating lion, I guess. And that lion wants to eat that gazelle for lunch or dinner or breakfast even. And the point that Dave Ramsey makes as far as debt, he said, listen, that gazelle needs to run for its life. It needs to run, it needs to be smart, it needs to zigzag. And he's basically saying the intensity of that gazelle to try to save its life is the intensity that all of us need to tackle. If we have a debt problem, we need to tackle that debt problem with intensity. And you're going to see in a minute why. The United States, growing up in the U.S., our culture basically encourages us to be savers, correct, and investors, or it encourages us to spend, spend, spend. I mean, every TV commercial, it's all pointed to, hey, guys, buy this car, lease this, buy this. Never is it a wise financial decision. Yes, I can afford it, but is it a wise financial decision? So let's talk about dealing with debt. So there's good debt and bad debt. Now, most debt is bad, but good debt, can someone give me an example of good debt? So I'm not trying to say all debt is bad. Mortgage on a house. Now, I'll throw this out there. Mortgage on a house, if your interest rate's good enough. Mortgage rates these days, I looked before I came over, 30-year mortgage is running about what now? Right about 4%. Yeah, 3.9 something. Right at 4%. Anyone who purchased homes, and I was a little too young, even though I'm in my 50s, but in the 1970s, do we know what home mortgage rates were? In the teens. As we came out of the 70s and in the teens. So at that point, I'd probably say that's not necessarily a good debt because, you know, you're getting eaten alive by interest. Now, yes, you can get a CD in the bank at that point for much higher interest rate. In my opinion, debt is okay as long as you're investing in an asset which most likely over time will go up in value, hopefully like our homes. And there are periods of time, as we all realized in 07, 08, 09, 010, that real estate also fluctuates, just like the stock market and the bond market. But if you have a low enough interest rate on an asset that over time appreciates, then that's probably a good debt. If a business takes out $1 million or $2 million loan, or they issue a bond instead of getting a loan from a bank, and they turn around and they borrow at 6%, and those assets help them grow their business by 10 or 15% return on their investment, then that's probably a good investment. The loan is costing them less than what they're eventually making. Now, there are some good debts. Most debts, though, are bad. Credit cards really started being an issue in the United States. Does anyone know about what year they began to become an issue? Early 80s. When I used to talk to my parents about credit cards back in the 60s and 70s, they had like a diner card and they'd use it like once a month when So credit cards, it seems like the 1980s are when credit cards began to become an issue. And now, credit cards can be used very wisely. People can use credit cards wisely by doing what with them? Paying them off, running all their house bills through it, $1,000 a month, $2,000, $3,000, whatever you can run through it, you pay it off at the end of the month. And you can earn airline miles or cash back. So I'm not saying credit cards are evil. Now, if you follow the Dave Ramsey class, he basically says get rid of every credit card, and because he knows that most people over time abuse credit cards, but not all. They can be used with discipline as well. So let's take a look at, here's a little picture of bad debt, basically. And if anyone is in this situation or knows people are in this situation, it's like two steps forward, but then three steps back. You make the minimum payments and you look at the bill the next month. It's like, what happened? It hasn't changed. I owe more money this month than I did last month. Okay, so let's take a look at some of these numbers. I think in this section, I just left room for notes. I don't think I had too many fill-in-the-blank type of things. So how does bad debt hurt? I should have made this a little bit larger, and I don't know. Are we able to see this? $10,000, whatever kind of debt, let's say credit card debt. $10,000 credit card debt at 15% with a $200 a month payment. And I'll talk about the word decreasing in a second. It will take 28 years to pay off a $10,000 credit card at $200 a month. You'll pay $22,000 on a $10,000 bill, $12,000 in interest. You're paying more in interest than whatever that product is, and you probably don't even remember what the purchases were 28 years later. Now, this is, if you use your credit cards and only send in what they say you have to send in, this is what's going to happen. Why? Typically, there's a percentage that you have to pay each month. But when that credit card bill, 2, 3, 4 years later, is a little bit smaller, guess what? Is the credit card company asking you for $200 a month at that point? They ask you for less. In other words, since your principal is going down, your payment that they require that you make is going down as well. So if you simply make the minimum payment that the credit card companies tell you to make, it will take on average 25 to 30 years to pay off a credit card. So that is, you don't have to be too much of a financial genius to know that's not a good formula. Now, what if you just simply made the same $200 payment every month, even when the credit card company said, oh, you only owe $180 this month, you kept making the $200 payment. So if you kept, and here I put 225 in the computer, it worked out a little better, at 225 a month, but level, never changing your payment amount, that credit card bill is still gonna take you a while to pay off, but it'll take 5.5 years, and you're gonna end up paying $14,700 and some odd. So you're paying $4,700 in interest. Still enough to choke a horse, but certainly better than the first scenario, correct? You're still paying 47% interest. Okay, I'd highly recommend, I'm big time into recommending people save and invest, but a guaranteed way to make 10, 12, 15% interest is to pay off your what? Credit cards. It's a guarantee. Stock markets, bond markets go up and down. There's no guarantees with those type of investments. But when you pay off debt, it's a guaranteed investment savings that you're going to make. So I threw a couple more up here just to give you an idea. I don't want this person to have 5.5 years being saddled with his bill. So let's take a look. What if they throw in almost $350 a month? That bill will be paid off in 3 years. The interest is now $12,480, so $2,400 in interest, still at 24%. So what if you call the credit card company, and this isn't a credit counseling group that we have, but what if you call the credit card company and say, listen, you know, can you work with me here? And let's say they happen to reduce the interest rate. If they reduce the interest rate, 15, is 15 high? Let's talk about that. 15 is an awfully high number. Credit card companies, though, are allowed to go to what? 29.99. 30% is loan sharking. 29.99 is what plenty of credit card companies are at. Even folks with good credit. If you have good credit, but you have a lot of credit card and a lot of debt out there, even with a high credit score, you will sometimes, if you take a peek closely, find interest rates above 20%. I'm gonna show you an example in here of a referral. I flew out to Nashville a number of weeks ago to talk to a relative of one of our clients, and I actually copied down, very high credit score. I took a look, and we'll take a look at methodologies for paying off debt. But if the credit card company were to drop the interest rate down to 8% and you made the same $347 or $350 payment, you'll have the credit card paid off in under 3 years, 2 years, 9 months, $11,142, so $1,100 in interest. So now let's say this was a, let's go back a second. Let's say this was a 25, 26 year old who said, oh my gosh, I was in college or I was in school to learn my trade and I got this credit card in the mail. They're theoretically not supposed to do that anymore, right? I see it happen still. I'm not quite sure why, but you get a credit card, never applied for it. Here's a credit card. You know, you take a 25-year-old who's working hard and trying to put away a few dollars and give them a piece of plastic that's good for $10,000. You know, what do you think most 25-year-olds are going to do? Not all, but most are going to, oh, wow, I need those shoes. I need this. I need this. I need this. And all of a sudden, they've got the $10,000 credit card bill. And it takes them several years to climb out of that. Now, I just threw an example up here. What could that $347 or what could that $350 do for now that 30-year-old, the 25-year-old who learned their lesson, now they're 30. They said, oh, it took me 5 years to climb out of that debt. But now they're used to paying the $350. Hopefully they've adjusted their lifestyle. So now they're used to paying that $350. So I just wanted to show you, what if they turned around instead of paying off debt, turned around and did what with it? Saved or invested. So let's take a look here. The power of compounding in time. So if they simply took the $350 a month that they formerly were using to pay off debt, and they invested that from 30 until they're 65, they just got in the habit and said, you know what? I'll invest when I'm in my 60s. Let's see where this money takes me. It takes discipline, but once you form the habit, it becomes a habit. So if they simply put it under their mattress, they would put away $147,000. I don't recommend you put $147,000 on your mattress, okay? If you do, don't tell me, because if I'm ever visiting your house and I disappear for a few minutes, you'll know, you hear me shuffling around your bedroom, you'll be suspicious, okay? But that's if you were to put it away and basically collect it in cash. What if you were to buy CDs with it? And I'm not saying any of these, I'm not making any recommendations for whether these are good or bad ideas, but the long-term average, CDs today are paying about what? 1%, 1.25%, depends on the length of time, but you're not getting 2, 3, 4%. 5, 6, 7 years ago, or before the financial crisis in 08, you could get CDs for around 4.5, 5%. So CD rates go up and down, it's based on 30-year bond, 10-year bond. So rates go up and down, but the long-term average for CDs is around 3%. That's the long-term CD average, around 3. The problem with that is, does anyone know what the inflation rate has been the last 20, 30 years? 3%. So I'm not saying we shouldn't have CDs, but for this 30-year-old investing for 35 years, probably not the best place, because he made money or she made money, but inflation ate up any purchasing power. But for that person, they'd have $259,000. What about if they started an investment program and bought mutual funds or bought other types of investments with potentially higher returns over time? At 7%, they'd have $630,000 over that time period, $350 a month. At 8%, a little over $800,000. 9%, a little over $1 million. So $350 a month for that amount of years, it's a lot of years. Over a little over $1 million, and at 10%, little over $1.3 million. Listen, none of us knows the future, but are 7, 8, 9, 10%, are they outrageous numbers versus the last 30 years, 35 years? Last 20 years, the markets have averaged, since the late 90s, around 7%. The last 35 years, the averages are actually slightly over 10%, 10 and a quarter. Okay, so I'm not here saying what investments we should be buying, but this 30-year-old who learned their lesson about debt and then said, you know what, let me take my attention and focus it on putting away money, this is a good route to go. Any questions so far? Just some general information. Okay, tools for paying off debt, and we probably, how are we doing on time since I don't have my, 5 minutes left? No, okay, I gotta fly. Okay, tools for paying off debt. If you go into Google and you simply Google and Google, I guess the, one's a noun, one's a verb, credit card calculators. They'll bring you to several different sites. Be careful when you go to these sites. Some of them are trying to sell you something. Some of them, they want you to subscribe to a service, but there's several free sites. My favorite, there's an Excel free debt calculator, and I'm going to show it to you in a second. It's called Vertex 42. Free site, Vertex 42. And if you simply Google Vertex 42 debt calculator, it will. They have a bunch of free calculators. Now, you do have to have either Excel or you have to have some sort of spreadsheet in your computer or your iPad. If you don't have Excel, you can use OpenOffice. That's a free spreadsheet program. You guys have heard of OpenOffice? It's a free version of Microsoft Office, but it's not Microsoft Office, but they have the same tools and it's totally free, openoffice.org. But if you have the spreadsheet, you download the template, and what it does, and apologies for this because you're probably not going to be able to see too well. Let me go to the next page. Basically, it's a spreadsheet. You put in the creditor, the name of the card, the balance, the interest rate, and your payment that they're requiring. You put those pieces of information in, and then you let the power of the computer, the spreadsheet, help you figure out a strategy for paying them off as quickly as possible. So there's two phrases that you hear. One is called the avalanche philosophy. One is called the snowball philosophy. Avalanche is where you put all your debts up there. In this case, I wish we could see better. There's what, about $19,000 in debt, and the payments are around $500 a month. My opinion, you should probably take a look at the avalanche technique versus the snowball technique. The avalanche technique says get rid of the credit cards with the highest interest rate first. So up here, a little hard to see, but the Toys R Us credit card is at 27%. That's a real credit card. I just copied the information down on here. Toys R Us Visa, I think it was. I was trying to figure out how you could spend several thousand dollars at Toys R Us, but I guess we'll figure out one of these Christmases for Braden. So the avalanche technique is to go ahead and pay the highest interest rate first, and then once that's paid off, you go to the second, third, and we'll talk about that in a second. The snowball technique is take a look, put the credit card or the debt, whatever it is, with the smallest balance first, then the second smallest, third smallest. Even though you might pay more interest over time, and Dave Ramsey's a subscriber to this, once you knock off that first bill, it feels good. You know what? I had five or six bills or whatever the case is here. One's gone. And once that debt is gone, what do you do with the money that you were paying that debt off with? It goes to the next one. And that's whether you're using either of these two techniques. You know how snowball, they call it the snowball, because remember as kids we watched on TV the cartoons, little snowball rolling down the hill, what happens? It gets bigger and bigger and it rolls over people and it's this giant snowball. So the concept is if you're paying, in this case, $500 a month, it's going to take 74 months to pay off the debt. But remember, the credit card companies over time are going to lower how much you have to pay. So what you should do is in the tool, you should go up here, and they give you a list of what credit cards to pay and how much each month, and you come up with a game plan. But what you should do is up here, you see where monthly payment, 500? You plug that in, because if you don't plug that in over time, some of the credit cards, once they're paid off, the system says, you know what, you don't have to pay any more money, you've already paid that one off, so now your monthly payments are going down. But if you plug in 500 a month, it went from taking 70-something months to 54 months, the debt's paid off. And then if you have the ability, I'm gonna jump ahead to the next screen, if you have the ability to pay more money, like in this case, instead of paying the 500, you're paying the 70, you know, this person says, you know what, I'm gonna cut some corners, I'm gonna get rid of our cable, I'm gonna work some extra, I'm gonna get a part-time job, I'm getting out of this debt situation. So this person said, you know what, I'm not gonna pay 500 a month, I'm gonna pay 750 a month. So from day one, you're paying the minimum payments on all the cards except for one, and you're tackling that card until it's gone. Once it's paid off, you're taking the money you were paying into that card and now applying it to the second card. So we're gonna jump ahead because of time. But Vertex 42, debt calculator, I'd highly recommend this, okay? So I think, based on time, Sorry about that. So that's debt. Now let's jump into, once it loads up. Any questions while we're waiting for the computer to load? We're good so far? Am I talking too fast? Okay, so dealing with debt, bottom line is like a gazelle being attacked for its life, you gotta get debt paid off, because as that debt gets paid off, you're gonna have this financial freedom. Dave Ramsey puts it, don't be like the world. 71% of the United States lives from Friday to Friday or every other Friday to get that paycheck. If that paycheck were late, they couldn't pay some bills, okay? So we wanna live differently and not have those things happening to us. So spending plan, budget plan, we'll kind of quickly go through this and so we can have time for Q&A. Establishing a spending plan. Folks like to take a vacation. Everyone likes vacations. When you decide to take a vacation, you just happen to, okay, we're going to buy tickets next Friday and we're going to go somewhere and we'll see how it goes. Is that how most people plan their vacation? You get on the computer, what are websites we go to? TripAdvisor and all these other, with Travelocity and, you know, hotels.com. How's this hotel? What are things to do in that city? You plan for it. You plan for it. But that's something, for some reason, that not for all, but for many folks in our country and the world for that matter, we don't necessarily plan for our future. And the truth is, oftentimes we don't plan for, like, right now. So I would just encourage you, whether it be planning for your future or child's education or even your current spending, that you spend time kind of like you do. Maybe it's not as exciting as planning a vacation, but I think you'll reap the rewards if you do that. Okay, so very quickly, we're going to go through here and just fill in the blanks as we get to these. Know why you are budgeting. Just don't budget for the sake of budgeting. For the most part, we're budgeting to figure out where our money's going. Okay? I sat down with a quick story. Sat down with a couple last week in Gables, and they had no idea how much their budget was. They had sent me 2 years' worth of bank statements, and they said, I want you to help me figure out where our money's going. So I sat down. They thought they were, and they have a sizable income. They thought they were spending $20,000 a month. Okay? They thought that's what they were spending. I sat down after going through 25 months worth of bank records and putting it into a spreadsheet. Their average monthly expenditures were $41,600 a month. And the lady kept saying, I was wondering why we couldn't retire. Now, they had sizable income, but they were spending almost $500,000 a year and couldn't figure out where their money was going. I said, you know what? And we sat down, we came up with a game plan for the next 3 months. So bottom line is, we want to do, and most of us would say, boy, I wish I had that problem. Right? Okay. And then, $20,000, I couldn't figure out. When I saw their food bill, $4,000 Whole Foods a month, $2,000 for restaurants. Anyway, we want to budget because we want to get our spending in check. Have a specific, concrete, long-term goal in mind. It may be just, you know, you want peace. You want peace of mind. You don't want to stress out. You want to reduce the stress. And it may be retirement. It may be college. It may be you want to buy a second home down the road or a vacation place. So, but have a goal in mind. Know how much you actually make. A lot of us say, oh, I make $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000, whatever the number is. Well, you may make that, but guess what? Do you take that home? The answer is no, and we're going to do a real quick exercise here, and I know I'm eating into our Q&A time, but hopefully we'll be okay. You know, if you make $1,000 over whatever time period, we know that you might have, what are some costs that people might have at work apart from taxes? You might have insurances, you might have to some copays for health insurances, you might have some long-term care things going on in there, you might have other things going on. Okay, but these are things you're probably not escaping. Everyone pays 7.65% out of each dollar, or in this case, $1,000 you make. That goes to your Social Security and Medicare. Okay, you're not getting away from that. If you're self-employed, we'll talk about that in a second. So 7.65%, okay? How much, anyone know, other than the CPAs in here, anyone know how much of that goes to Social Security? How much goes to Medicare for when we're 65 and older? 7.65% is made up of, how about, 6.2% goes to the Social Security system, and 1.45% goes to Medicare. So you add that together, it's 7.65%. So out of every $1,000, $76.50 gets sent to Uncle Sam for those programs, entitlement programs. Now, Social Security, we don't have time to talk about it, but I did the math today saying, what if a 25-year-old to a 65-year-old for 40 years made $50,000 a year, never having an increase, for 40 years made $50,000 a year and put this kind of money into the Social Security system? With the 7.5% return, I figured that Social Security nest egg, when they're 65, would be enough to generate $6,500 a month. $6,500 a month, not the $1,500, $1,800, $2,000 that Social Security. Social Security is based on about a 1.3% growth rate per se. Okay, but we're not getting away from that. So when you make $1,000, $7,650 is going here, and then you pay a guess at federal income tax. When you first get the job, you fill out a little form. That form's called a W-4. Your company doesn't know how much to hold out in taxes. They have no idea whether you have investment real estate, what your other forms of income. That's just a guess. That's just a guess. Now, that can range. If you filled, I did the math earlier today, it can range from 6 to 15%. If you fill out, you're married with four kids, they're going to hold out around 6%. Three kids, two kids, or dependents, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Single, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you're single and claim zero, they're going to hold out about 15%, okay? Now, you can tell them to hold out more, but it's just a guess what you owe in taxes. That's why we have to, on April 17th this year, April 15th most years, we have to do a tax return to see if we paid enough into the system or whether we owe money or get money back. So if this person pays 15% in this case, so 22.6% of the paycheck isn't coming home with you. You're going to, out of the 1,000, you're going to take home 773. And for most folks, you have other expenses that come out of there. Okay? So that's just a basics. Not that this really applies too much, but take a look at your pay stub one day. Take a look at what you're earning gross, what you're paying, what you're netting. Okay? I would encourage you, you can do budgets from the gross amount, how much you pay in Social Security tax. For me, that becomes a little too specific. If it were me, I encourage budgets from how much you take home, how much you, in this case, $773, let's budget that, because the rest of the money you're never even seeing, okay? All right, let's try to pick up the pace here. I keep looking at Tim. I just don't want all of a sudden, we have like 30 seconds left. Time for Q&A, right? Okay, know how much you make. When you're doing a budget, before you even sit down and do the budget, use the online tools. Take a look at 3 or 4 months worth of spending. This couple I went to see last week, I did 25 months worth. But take a look at a few months worth of what am I spending? Take a look. And with online tools, that should be fairly easy. Your check register, both monthly and irregularly. Don't forget about bills that come up once a year. Have checking and savings accounts that have useful budgeting tools. These days, most banks have like really good online stuff. Online bill pay, you can also have, when you, expenditures, you go to Publix, it can list it that that's a food expense. You can go in there and set up the tools to be able to do that. Simple budgeting tools, you can use paper and pencil, that's fine, or I'm going to give you some names here. I just go online and just Google it, and here's some names that came up. These are just, most of them are free, not all. These are all different types of online budgeting tools. You can use a spreadsheet. Dave Ramsey has an online, Dave Ramsey has a good budgeting tool. He says, you know what, if you have a, and I know some of this is small, with Timothy's permission, I'll change this into a PDF and either, you know what, we'll either make it available for Dropbox for download or somehow we'll make sure that you can see all this. But there are plenty more. This is only 10 or so. There's literally 50 or 60. These are some of the ones that are more brand name. Mint, Personal Capital, Quicken, spreadsheets, so, or paper and pencil, depends. Dave Ramsey says, you know what, for a person who really has a hard time with this, he encourages using cash and envelopes. His system actually includes envelopes. So you say, you know what? Here's, because he thinks using plastic You don't feel the pain of the money going when you swipe the card, credit or debit card. He says when you have a $100 bill and you're putting it in an envelope and say, this is for this bill, he believes that that helps you with your budgeting. So these are just some potential tools you might want to use. You're not going to be able to see this, but we'll on your page of notes, here are some basic recommendations. Housing. Now, everyone's different, but these are some guidelines. Housing should perhaps be between 25 and 35% of your spending. Utilities, 5 to 10%. Transportation, your car, vehicles, 10 to 15. Healthcare, 5 to 10. Food, 5 to 15. Investment savings, between 5 to 10. Debt repayments, 5 to 10. Once the debts are paid off, though, then that becomes zero, hopefully, and then that category can be reallocated. Charitable giving, 5 to 15. Entertainment and recreation, 5 to 9, and miscellaneous, 2 to 7. Like I said, we'll turn this into a PDF, and somehow we'll either make it available somehow so that you can find the spot and download it. But these are recommendations. On the left side, that's the actual U.S. Department, I forget what department it was, but that's what the average person on the left side there, that's what the average person in the United States allocates in real life. And Dave Ramsey's recommendations on the right. Okay? Be realistic. You know, don't do a budget that you're saying, you know, you're going to spend. I sat down with someone to look at a budget and they told me they were going to spend $50 a month for food. Well, yeah. That's basically a good lunch or dinner, I think. And I'm not saying you need to spend that for every meal, but be realistic. It's like, you know what, you're going on a diet. I was working out, not now, you can tell, but a few years ago. Be praying for me. I have to get down to under 240 pounds because I'm getting my paragliding license in May, and I have to be under 240. So got 35 pounds to go and 2 months to do it, so be encouraging me. Or else I have to get the bigger hang glider, and that's not going to work. So I was working out with my neighbor, and he said, listen, I've got a diet for you. And he handed me, my neighbor across the street, he handed me this list of, here's what you're going to eat tomorrow. And like breakfast was 3 grapes and 2 peanuts, and I'm here. Not going to happen, okay? So be realistic about your budget. Have some support. If you take the Dave Ramsey class or another class, you can, there's an encouragement, there's kind of group dynamic going on there, but hopefully whether it be a family member or someone, have them be encouraging you. You should have some short-term goals because, you know, sometimes we need short-term goals and rewards. So set up some sort of short-term goals. You know, if I stick to my budget this month, I'm going to allow myself, you know, we're going to do something. Not go out and spend $10,000 for vacation, but there goes the budget the next month. But, you know, if we meet the budget this month, we're going to include in the budget next month something special, kind of a reward system for yourself. And lastly, before we jump into the last category, and Tim has my head, don't be afraid to adjust radically, okay? Don't be afraid to adjust if you need to. And we're going to close out with the very last section.
I think we're going to do is
skip.
15 minutes.
Yes. Gotcha, okay. This will be available. The last section is just talking about 10 steps I think everyone should go through as far as considering, do you do your 401k first? In fact, there may even be some questions about that. Should you do your own personal IRA? Should you do a 401k? And that's what the next section's about. Those will be available in the notes, okay?